I am going to talk to you about waking up right now. Let's pray together. And you can put my slide up there when you're ready, Pam. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the willingness that they have shown to walk into even difficult areas in this community, Lord, that so many men responded to going up on top of that hill, to a band of brothers, to the many things that we do here in this church, to seek to make a difference in this community, to seek to be one church together in this community with the other churches. And Lord, I mean that for this church. Lord, is it not only do we pray individually, have your way in me, but we pray as a church, have your way in us. And we know that to our flesh, the normal man, the normal woman, those are threatening words. God, have your way. But Lord, that's what we want with all of our heart. We want to be a church that's filled with you, a church that follows you. And whether the world understands it or not, we want you to have your way in us. So, give me an opportunity now, Lord, with let your words just flow through me to awaken in your people a vision for their own lives as well as drawing near to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say, awaken the dawn. Awaken the dawn. Just let those words settle in you for a moment while I get my Bible open up, because I want to read those words to you from Psalms 57. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill His purpose in me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send forth His unfailing love and faithfulness. I am surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like swords. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heaven. May your glory shine over all the earth. My enemies have set up a trap for me. I am weary from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path. But they themselves have fallen into it. And then it says interlude there in that psalm, which means pause and think about that. Selah would be the Hebrew word there. And then he writes these words. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will wake the dawn with my song. That's in verse 8. Psalms 57, verse 8. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. Tuesday mornings, right here in this sanctuary, a handful of men come together to read Psalms. It began about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. It happened at a time when I was looking for fresh direction from God. I'd already been through some of my own crises. Things had begun to settle down. And I began to seek God and say, what now? Where do we go now? And I heard God's voice speak to me. It wasn't an audible voice, but it certainly was the way that I have come to recognize that God speaks to me. And God spoke and told me to gather the men together early in the morning to read Psalms in the church sanctuary. The reason that we have the Awake in the Dawn program, shall we say, if you want to call it that, those Tuesday mornings of men gathering together in this sanctuary at 5:30 in the morning, is because God directed me to do that. Wouldn't have been an invention in my own mind. The devil certainly didn't say, hey, why don't you just gather men down there, you know? It's like, you know, you get that? It's like, where else would that kind of direction come from? Except God's in. I actually had a vision of it, of guys gathered in a circle right here in this sanctuary and reading the Psalms out loud together. Now, what happened is some of the ladies actually kind of caught on to that, and they said, well, we'd like to do that too. And so we ended up with both guys and gals. The gals gather up in the cafe, and the guys gather down here. God doesn't have anything against women. You see, we got a men's program on Monday night. We got women's ministry that goes on. Sometimes we do things apart from one another. Sometimes we do things together. But there's a reason for that. You know, it's like sometimes God needs to get a hold of guys in a way that He can't get a hold of them when gals are around. That's just the flat-out truth. And sometimes God needs to speak to women in ways that if the men are around, they don't get spoken to in that way. And then when we come together, we have so much to share and offer. But the first thing is I want to tell you about why the Awake in the Dawn. Why do we gather at 5:30 in the morning to read Psalms? I'm going to tell you that this sets a model for the way that I try to live my life. I gather with guys at that time of the morning because I was called by God to do it. Now you got to listen to me, because I mean that sets a precedent for my life. If I only had two guys in here, it wouldn't matter how many guys gather with me, or if even I was by myself. I want to be in this room at that time of the morning, on Tuesday mornings, because I believe God spoke and said, that's what I want you to do. Now, the things that I'm going to talk about today around this Awake in the Dawn thing, I mentioned that we'd taken a break for Tuesday mornings because of the holidays and stuff. We're restarting up this Tuesday morning, guys and gals. We're restarting up this Tuesday morning. But the reason that I want to talk to you about that is because this is not just about a program. It's not like the Monday night program that's going to start and stop. It's not like any other thing that we do. This particular thing sets a model for our lives. In other words, it's a metaphor. It's something that we are doing, but it's almost like something that needs to be transferred over into our lives, and the principles behind what we do here on Tuesday morning take us farther than just a Tuesday morning program. Oh, that's what we do on Tuesday mornings. And so I want to spend a little bit of time this morning before we have communion just talking about this. And I want to reaffirm to you, listen, as Gus says in Band of Brothers, that we've learned ourselves, there's no condemnation. Nobody's pointing a finger at you. Nobody's judging anything. I'm just sharing with you what's in my heart and hoping that you will capture a few things from this that will transfer into your own life. But listen, the reason that we gather on Tuesday morning is not just because, well, Steve's got kind of this whim going on, or he's a morning person, or whatever it is. I am here on Tuesday mornings to read Psalms with guys because I believe that's what God said we were to do. So think about that. If God says do something, we ought to do it. I mean, God's will really isn't up for options for us the way that we live our lives. It's like we think it is because we're American. You know, we vote on everything. You know, let's take a vote on that. Let's see if that's a good time for me. Which is the way God wants us to live our lives. You see, this goes beyond Tuesday mornings. This is about have your way in me. And then He says, okay, I want you to get up early and be at the church at 5:30 in the morning to gather with guys to read Psalms. Well, have your way in me, Lord, but I don't ask me to do that. Can we do that at 7:30 or at nighttime? Or, you know, I'm not awake then. Do we really mean it when we say, have your way in me? Just awake in the dawn of battle. Well, the name actually comes from the song. That we didn't call it that in the beginning, but we began running into that passage of Scripture. Every time we read it, we would say, this is what we're doing. And it really is cool to drive here in the dark, and when you go out of that door, the sun is coming up, and you know we have awakened the dawn by reading Psalms, God's Word, out loud before Him. The why of early morning Psalms reading. Well, one is because God directed us to do it. But there's other reasons, and other reasons which have to do with our lives as we live them out. The Psalms are a school of prayer. How do we learn how to pray? Have you ever stopped and listened to people pray and thought, well, where did they learn to do that? Or, I mean, you know, I've been a pastor for quite a while, you know, half my life. And I've had people say, the disciples wanted, they came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's kind of funny when you hear new people come in and you ask them to pray, would you open with prayer? Oh no, I couldn't do that. I don't know how. How do they learn to pray? We listen to one another pray. But how does God teach us to pray? He gave us a whole book in the Bible, which is a book of prayers. It becomes a school of prayer for us. And what we learn from that school, is there isn't anything that you can't say to God. Isn't that interesting? You're reading the Psalms and he says, get my enemies, I hate them. Or God, I'm scared. Or I'm surrounded by people. Or God, I've failed. And what's so interesting is that you encounter places where he's in such a desperate place, but then at the same time, he'll say, but I praise you, O God, because I know you're in control. All those different kinds of prayers. Lamentations. I don't know what's happened to me. Why have I lost everything in the world? Spiritual people wrote these Psalms. People that walked with God, and yet they had trouble in their life. And for the most part, many of us, when we start having problems, we start going, what's wrong? But when we're reading the Bible, we get reminded even spiritual people, even the best, have problems in their lives. Not everything goes their way. So the Psalms teach us so much about prayer and relationship with God. They're our school. I invented a word. It's not new for most of you have been around me for any length of time because I invent words from time to time. God word. Not God words like God's word, but God word like toward. You know, I mean, he looks toward. A God word. The thing I like to say about Psalms reading is I realize after a long period of time of seeing it happen and having it happen in me, that it's God word activity. Seeing the Psalms for these guys is God word activity. It's like, think of it as pointing towards God, pointing our being towards God. It's like, it's before God. It's Godward activity. I want to share with you about that a moment. What does that mean when it says that we're God? It's Godward activity. Well, one thing is that we don't come to get. And after you've read the book of Psalms, how many times have we read it, guys? The guys that come. Got any idea? A lot. A lot. We've probably read through the book of Psalms together. I mean, we could calculate it out at least 20 times. We read 10 Psalms every Tuesday morning, then we read other passages of Scripture. But I mean, you know, 150 Psalms, so after 15 weeks, you start all over again, and then you start all over again, and then you start all over again. We've read it in different translations. But it's not a teaching time. You see, the Psalms is not, reading the Psalms out loud together is not a teaching time. It's a time of offering prayers to God. And sometimes we get some things out of it. Sometimes we get questions out of it. But sometimes it's just fully focused on God, which is mostly what happens there. It's Godward activity. These guys are gathering here. They don't come here with any. It's not like they come in to give to God. Now, just sort of explaining the idea of Godward activity. What happens here is we kind of let go of ours. And in order that we can participate in God's. Now, it's not a real spiritual thing when you start thinking about it. This week, you know, we start with Psalms 1 and we read the first 10 Psalms. Next week, it's like we're reading the next hymn. The next week, we're reading the next hymn. Well, you know, it's not like we come in and go, what do I feel like I want to read here today? We're coming in and we're reading them in sequence, in pattern. Well, I don't want to read this today because this isn't where I'm at. I want to read the Psalms of Praise. I want to read the end of the book because all of those praise Psalms, that'll make me feel good today. But here we are right smack in the middle of Psalms of Lamentation. It's like we have no control over that. We're coming in and we're just submitting to God's words. We're coming in and we're letting go of ours. And it sort of sets a pattern, it's kind of a model for us, is that instead of coming in bringing our stuff, we come in to get into God's stuff. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever thought about this? When do you pray the most? At night? What do you pray about the most? Your stuff. Two years ago, I had a guy, he came to the church on Sundays occasionally. Usually when you talk to him, he talks real spiritual, especially when he got around the pastor or other Christian men. On that particular Tuesday morning, you know, he was driving to the hospital to have open heart surgery. Hadn't heard from him before, but he had this idea in his mind. I'm on my way to the hospital. I know there are men over there in that church and they're praying, so I'm going to stop by there and ask them to pray. He breathes in. He breezes in. You know, we're gathering. And I could tell. I knew he had an agenda. He had an agenda, right? And we started to read Psalms and he stopped us right there. He said, listen, guys, I just came today because I want you to pray for me. That's the way most of us do. We come to church when we got a hurt, when we have a thing. We come to God when we have a thing, and we begin with our stuff. But see, that Godward activity kind of begins with God's stuff. And the thing is that we did stop and pray for him. I talked to him a little bit about it. I said, man, why don't you come more? Come all the time, and then you'd find out what this is about. Yeah, it was tough. You know me, I am an honest guy. You know, I've ruined ministerial meetings, all kinds of things like that, just kind of to say, well, let's look at this for a moment. Poor Sister Loretta, I love her so much, you know, up there at San Miguel Mission, and those priests, they would show up at our ministerial meetings every October to talk about Unity Week. Never saw them again the whole year long until it got to be about October, and they said, Unity Week is coming up. Come on, guys, we need to get together. And so I said, sister, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings here, but reality is we do Unity every month here. Yeah. We gather every month here to pray for unity, to talk together, to build relationship together. Unity is more than a week-long thing that we do together and they all go our ways. Scott, sooner or later we have to get out of our stuff and get into what God is doing and be together. And I said, well, what does that mean when you show up in October and you say, let's come together now, let's all come together and do unity services, and then the rest of the year we don't see one another? It's like, how about coming and joining us here? What was so incredible, and to their credit, was that both Sister and Father Ray And Father Larry said, "You're right." And started coming. And it meant a world. It was huge. It was huge. See, sooner or later, we have to just stop talking about our spirituality and do something in it. The first year Band of Brothers was going on, I heard about it, and I just kept going, "Oh, that's the Baptist churches thing." First year. They're doing that over there, you know. They started it up the second year. They came to my office, wanted to know if because they needed a worship leader. And I think they came, wanted to know if Gary and I wanted to help with worship or something like that. And I suggested Gary. I said, "I got enough on my plate." And I suggested Gary. And I started thinking about Band of Brothers, guys coming together, men coming together early in the morning. And the Baptist church invited us to participate with them. Well, I had my own thing going on in the morning. I had my own ministry going on. I mean, shoot, we'd just do it. And God really began to work in me. He said, "You can't just expect, if you want unity and you want to work together with other people, you can't just expect them always to step your way. Come get involved in what I'm doing, baby. You know, come do what I'm doing here and we'll have unity, right?" That's the way it works. But what I had to do was I had to say, "Okay, I'm willing to lay my stuff down and go and join them and just become part." And so that's what I did. I came to the guys I was meeting with on Wednesday morning. I said, "Guys, I'm going over there. I feel like that's what God's doing, and I'm going to be part." It's changed and transformed aspects of our community. It changed the Band of Brothers when we did that. And other pastors began to kind of catch that same vision. You get it? We are so, mostly that's what's wrong with the American church right here, is we don't know how to be Godward. We're so focused on us. We have to bring us to the thing. We don't know how to stop and say, "Okay, the first thing that I've got to do is stop and just learn to listen to God. Just come before Him and present Him." Another pastor in this community, I've been talking about Band of Brothers. "Why don't you come and join us over there?" He says, "I don't need another church service." I'm involved in church services all the time. And my next phrase that I'm going to say to him is, "Yeah, but you lead every one of them." And this is an incredible time to show leadership to the men in our church and the men in our community when pastors go to something that they're not leading and just participate as a normal everyday guy worshiping with the men. You're doing leadership there too, you know. But it's a different kind of leadership. It may not be your agenda, it may not be your teaching, it may not even be the way that you would do it, but God is there. It's Godward activity. Godward activity. And Godward activity is you come to give. You don't come to get. I had one pastor I was talking to one time, and he was saying, "Is God still teaching about the armor of God?" And he'd been doing it almost a year, Gus. He'd been talking about the armor of God. I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Oh." It was kind of like, you know, I mean, it's pastor stuff. You know, I'm not going to tell you who these guys are. I'm just going to tell you pastor stuff. You know, it's like he says, "Oh." I'm kind of disgusted, you know. And I said, "Man," I looked at him and I said, "Man, you don't go there because he's teaching you something new. He's not going to share something with you that you haven't heard before. You've been studying the Word of God all your life. I don't go there because he's sharing something new. Occasionally he does, but most of it's encouragement. It's the atmosphere. It's the attitude of just being there with God's people and with those men. I mean, really, how many new things do you hear from Gus? Outside of just being reinforced, no condemnation, you're forgiven. I mean, you know, it's just, sooner or later, that's going to be the same way with all of you." My first church experience was at Melody Land. I heard the greatest speakers in the world. For about 2 years, I heard them. They came in, they shared. And pretty soon, I was hearing the same stuff over and over again. I only got about 12 messages to give you people. I see them in different ways all the time. But really, that's really all it is. Sooner or later, you're going to hear everything I got to say. But the fact is that sooner or later, I mean, you know, spiritual life comes from you absorbing it yourself, walking with God yourself, And I become an encouragement to them. I come alongside of you. If you're looking for me to feed you every week, I mean, it's like, it's not going to happen. But when you pick up the Word of God, when you start relating to it, when you begin participating in Godward activity, letting go of ours to participate in what God's doing, then something great begins to happen. I left Southern California in 1976 when it was the hotbed of spiritual revival. The Jesus movement was just finishing up. I mean, the charismatic movement was exploding. I mean, and I left there to come to Pastor Robles. Population was 7,000 then. To a little pink church on a corner with a rose garden and people sang hymns and didn't want anything to do with any kind of contemporary music or anything like that. At least that was my interpretation. And all my Southern California arrogance, I came up here and I said, there's nothing here for me. And I argued with God for that drive going home, saying, I'm done. I don't want to go to that place. Because I had access to the best music. I had access to the best teachers. I had access to everything that infant spirituality thought was awesome. But I caved in. You know, somewhere in me I found that prayer, which I didn't use the exact words, but it was the prayer like this: have your way in me, Lord. And He said, go there. And it took me about a year of depression and fighting and kicking and all that stuff before I realized the beauty of God that was here in this community. It was different. It was the beauty of God. And I realized that you know, it's like Luke Skywalker found out. The only evil that's in that place is what you bring with you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? You can transform a place of work. You can transform a church. You can transform a city because Christ is in you if you are willing to let Him have His way in you. And yeah, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Because God is at work in you at the same time. But that's where the transforming all takes place. And the next thing you know, a community begins to be touched by God. So we got to learn to let go of ours and participate in His. But how do we do that? The Psalms reading gives us a model for that, because we come in and we sit down. I don't feel like reading Psalms 1 today, but we are reading it today. And we are listening to it. And we are doing it. I don't feel like reading Psalms 20 today, but you know, you get it? This is not what I need, because I'm in desperate plight right now. I need to read a psalm that talks about children and children accepting Christ and giving their lives to God. Why am I reading this? This has nothing to do with that. But here we are going through this discipline of getting on the page with God. He wrote those things. He inspired them. He gave us the book. He said, read them. It's an activity of trust. It's the one activity in which we choose to trust God. That's the thing. I come in with a problem. And I want to tell you what my problem is so that you guys will pray for it and we can fix that, because that's the only way to get problems fixed, right? Is when I tell you I got a problem. But we come in and we begin to read these Psalms and we begin to discover God has words in there that speak to my problem, even though I didn't plan on it and even though it seems like nobody planned on it. It's just there. God knows what my problem is. And we go through this activity of trust. And then that whole idea of listening to God. I love this direction from the priest when Samuel, the prophet, was just a young boy and he thought he heard a voice and he thought it was the old priest. And the old priest finally figured out that God's talking to you. And he said, the next time you hear it, say these words. And I want you to say them with me when I say them. He says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Say that with me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You could do a whole sermon on just those words. What an incredible idea. I'm God's servant. And I'm listening to Him. Godward activity. We don't do enough of it. Most of it is towards us. It's people activity instead of Godward activity. Learning a spiritual discipline, you know, I know that's kind of hard, but reading God's Word has not become a regular habit or discipline in most people in the church today. When I first started reading Psalms with guys, that's the first awakening I had. Because I could tell by the way they read. And when I go to Band of Brothers and we read the Scripture around the table and I listen to the guys there, and all of a sudden it dawned on me after all these years, really, most Christians don't even spend hardly any time at all reading the Word of God. Not judging. I'm just saying, I know it's a fact. Just like in my parents' home, that Bible sat there and collected dust on that shelf. In fact, one of the things that I wish that for this year, 2015, that as a discipline, all of us, whether it be electronic Bible or your phone or whatever, that every one of us brings a Bible to church. But really the goal is, one of the earliest disciplines I learned as a new Christian was to have a daily quiet time with God. And I don't think that's just for pastors, by the way. It's not, well, that's because you're a pastor, man, and because you've got sermons to give and stuff like that. I determined when I got into the ministry that before I would study for a sermon, that I would read Scripture for myself. Just to get to know God. Which is really what has got to happen. And so I began developing, and it didn't start out big. It wasn't huge. It may have been 5 minutes. But I determined every day I'm going to read consistently God's Word. What I've discovered is that really regular reading God's Word has not become a regular habit or a discipline of most people in the church today. God gave us a treasure. God, it would transform the life of the church. It really would. And I don't mean just this church, but I just mean the church. And if we read it, not just for the idea of, well, what are the instructions? How do I get this thing to happen? This and that, but we read it, God, I want to know You. I wish you'd joined Carol and I for the last 2 years now. It's only been 2 years, I think. That we started with that Read Initiative program that was started with the Church of God. That we started reading through the Bible in a year. Now, 2 years in a row, we've read through the whole Bible in a year. We just finished it up because this is January. And we just started again on our third year. What an incredible activity for a husband and wife to do. I mean, really, if you think about it. And we just read, she reads a verse, I read a verse. You know, we read back and forth out loud. Not a very difficult thing. It's not like you're having to look at one another in the face and talk about serious things. You're just reading Scripture together. But it really does open all kinds of doors of communication. And in terms of a devotion life with God, I mean, that's the place to begin. I wish you would join us in that. That's not just activity for pastors. It's learning the discipline of reading God's Word. I've read, Gary, you sent me that article about the church and why people are forsaking the church today. And then that was kind of a heart's cry. One of them was, well, if we could only be like the early church. Oh, my God. Think about this. The early church at Pentecost, before Pentecost, they waited in prayer together in that upper room for 10 days. Doesn't seem like a lot, actually, when you think about it. It doesn't seem like a huge deal. But stop for a moment and realize, when's the last time you waited on God for 10 days? Or 10 minutes? You've got to understand, we've been formed by our culture. We were a microwave generation. We want it, and we want it now. We want it to happen quick. We expect communication to be there where we are all the time. I mean, people bring their cell phones to church and to doctor's offices. We went out to dinner the other night, and I'm looking at this table, and there's this family of people sitting there. No, it was lunchtime. That they were sitting there in this place, and the dad is with his phone, and he's there, and the kid's over here with his phone, and the wife is over here with her phone, and the other one's over there with their phone. They're all just sitting at the same table, but they're all looking at their own phones. They're not talking to one another. Maybe they were texting each other, huh? These are the challenges that we face. Developing basic spiritual disciplines again. You know, learning how to walk with God in truth. I can't do that for you. My job is to help you do that. My job is to come alongside of you and hopefully, you know, fan the flame. I know. Why in the early in the morning? Why does it have to be early in the morning? Why not late at night? Why not? And I can tell you one thing, that if most of the people that I know that say, well, I can't do it in the morning, you know, so I'll do it at night. Always something comes up. Always something comes up. You never get it done. You may keep it for a couple of nights and then something comes up, or there's a TV program that you really don't want to miss, or that football game show coming on, you know, or this or that. Whatever it is, if you don't do it first thing of your day, and I think it sets a precedent for your life. Who's first in your life? We watched a whole video about first. And he said, I want the first of my money. Well, how about the first of your time, the first place you go? And it's a temptation when you've got your Bible is in something like this on your iPad there, and you open up your iPad and go to the Bible, and all of a sudden you've got these emails that are blinking at you going, no, you've got mail there. And Facebook, somebody has been putting stuff on Facebook, and it's like, it's a real temptation to go to take and flip the screen to the Bible and push it on, Lord, I'm going to honor you first before I communicate with anybody else. What a step that is. That's where we got to go together. It sets a precedent for your whole life, because from then on, whenever you're confronted with any kinds of issues in your life, you've made the choice. God is first. God is first in my life. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I belong to Him. It's modeled by Jesus. By the way, Jesus did that. First thing in the morning, before even the sun came up, I guess maybe that's where that idea of awake in the dawn came from. Jesus got up. He went off by himself in the wilderness to pray. And Luke makes a point of it. Luke is the gospel of prayer, where he talks about prayer over and over again. And Luke says that Jesus had a habit of getting up early and going and praying. If Jesus needed it, you and I for sure need it. And don't point and say, well, you're a morning person. I mean, that's the thing. I wasn't a morning person when I started this. It's just been such a part of my life now that that's where I am. But I wasn't a morning person when I started. I can remember getting up and having to be to work at 8 o'clock. God, that was not awful early. And I determined, because the evangelist that was mentoring me said, you've got to have a quiet time with God. And so I'm going to get up 15 minutes early. And I got up 15 minutes early. I remember going into my living room and getting on my knees, and I fell asleep out there. I just kept getting up 15 minutes earlier. That was difficult. But that's how you change your life, is that you make those kind of choices before God, and you try and you fail, and you try and you fail, and then pretty soon you have some victories. And then He asks, okay, now let's take another step. Well, let's take another step, but start somewhere. Modeled by Jesus. The Psalms speak of it. This Awake in the Dawn passage is actually quoted twice in the Psalm. Psalm Psalms 108 as well. And then this is the thing that probably speaks more in our culture than any other time, although I think they had problems with this in any culture because this is human beings. We want to develop a relationship with God that doesn't affect our life. I encounter God when I'm on the golf course. I encounter God when I'm in the mountains hiking. I encounter God when I'm fishing. That's when I feel most close to Him. I encounter God when I'm listening to music. So what we want to do is bring God into our agenda and our life, and instead of going out of our way to be with Him. When in the world do you go out of your way to be with God? Sunday mornings. Praise God. I want to just affirm you guys that you've gone out of your way. Because there's a value in you about drawing near to God. And so celebrate that victory. That wants to be transferred into our lives in everyday events. I'm trying to get through that. I just got carried away today. Probably one of the most difficult things that we face is when people try to pray together. In our community, the pastors are waking up to the idea that we're supposed to pray together. It's kind of a novel idea, isn't it? Pastors praying together. Once a week now, except for the week that we have our ministerial association, there's a handful of us that gather like that. We gather to pray together. It's the darned most uncomfortable thing I've ever been to. Most prayer meetings are, aren't they? Have you ever been to a prayer meeting and where they said, well, let's come, we're going to pray about this, we're going to pray about that. And it's like, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to do together activity like that. Most of the time it ends up with two or three real prayer warriors who kind of dominate the time, and the rest of us just kind of sit and listen. Mm-hmm. We're listening to them pray. And so I brought these pastors the idea of, well, why don't we do what the early church did, and why don't we do what ancient Judaism did, and what Jesus, I'm sure, grew up in. Why don't we read the Psalms together? Why don't we start with that? And then we'll let it flow. It's an incredible thing. First, there was resistance. Oh, reading the Scripture together. Again, that's not prayer. Yeah, it is. Let's try it. And we went through some gyrations with that. And now it's like they're digging it. Even when I'm not there, they're doing it. In fact, we did that up at Heartland Camp. I had the guys get up in the morning. We modeled there what we do on Tuesday morning. We modeled in the chapel, and we read through 10 Psalms each morning we were up there. And our guest speaker, who came from back east, who is like in the Man in the Mirror movement and that whole deal, he came up to me in tears after the first day. He said, I've never been through anything like that. He said, one thing is I'm gonna take that with me, and I'm gonna introduce that wherever I go. We've forgotten how to pray together. And here's a way that we can all participate and learn how to pray together corporately. Praying the Psalms together. Reading the Psalms out loud together is a biblical model for praying corporately. Some Psalms are intended to be responsive prayer. You know, there's that one phrase, that one Psalm 136, where it says, for your love endures forever. You know, and so a statement would be, and then everybody would say together, for your love endures forever. And then another statement, a responsive reading. But you know, the Psalms were intended to be sung together. That's right. Kumbaya. Actually, they have more words than that. What's the point of all this here today for me with you guys? I'm not pushing a program. Really, I'm pushing a life model. That's really what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to take something that we do here on Tuesday mornings, And I'm trying to expand that so that it becomes part of your life that's bigger than just Tuesday morning. Tuesday mornings is simply a model of something that I want to become part of all of our lives. And actually, I think it's a model. It's a model that sets precedence for us about how we can actually approach our Christian walk in 2015. And I think if the Church of Jesus Christ began looking again back to these basic, simple Christian disciplines, we would begin finding the life of the church again, and we would transform our country and our world. So that's my point. Let's just keep growing. God, may we renew our hunger for Scripture and prayer. May we become the house of prayer that God intended us to be. Some of you have made fresh commitments to go to the gym. Some of you are, you know, are starting new diet programs. Let me suggest making some commitments to God about a daily quiet time, a daily time with God, and begin stepping into a real, genuine relationship with God together again. Let's all stand together. If our ushers would come forward, we will close our service by coming to the Lord's table.